Hello, and welcome to episode 94 of Bardic Quest. Thoric and Johan press on, delving deeper into the lost mine in pursuit of the legendary Forge of Spells. But in the darkened tunnel, something peculiar lurks. An extraordinary challenge they had never anticipated. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode of Bardic Quest. You make your way towards the northwestern tunnel and pass through. As you make your way through, which is probably only about 20 feet or so, you find yourself in an area that seems to consist of numerous intersecting passages. The ceilings of this area are only about 6 foot high, and you can see, even from where you're stood with the light that you have, that several of the passages end with partially excavated rock faces.
I have a feeling this place was built by dwarves.
How tall is Johan?
6 foot 2. This is how I feel when I go into cottages in the countryside.
It is a little bit cramped for you, yeah.
Yeah, love old houses. Like this. Thoric strides on in front of us. Like, this is perfectly roomy. I don't know what you mean. I'd like to stop and just say to Johan, just keep a weather eye, and I'm going to take 10 minutes to ritually cast detect magic.
Okay.
Johan pops a squat.
All right. So would you like
my helmet to sit on?
Would you like to describe how you're going to ritual cast detect magic?
I would. So Thoric just sort of focuses his mind and just sort of holds the knuckle duster ring in one hand, but kind of like cradles it in the other hand, and then sort of whispers a few words and then opens his hands, and it kind of almost creates this like silver almost kind of like a silver window that he then starts to look through. Which then, like, as he turns around the room, would reveal any magic things within 30 feet of him?
Okay. Yes, within 30 feet. So, as you're looking around these tunnels for any sign of anything that might light up your vision, that might be surrounded by any form of magical aura, the boots that you're wearing certainly do, as do any of the other magical equipment that you would be expecting to see. But aside from that, aside from the things on your persons, nothing else seems to be illuminated by any auras of magic at all.
Looks to be clear.
Which way do we go?
I don't know. Do you have anything to make a mark on the wall, chalk, or...
Uh, I could carve a rune into the wall.
Sure. Just so we can find our way in.
He takes out. Sorry, go on.
No, no, no. Just if Sergei follows us, or if we need to find our way back.
He takes out a crowbar and tries to, like, crudely just carve, like, something that looks like an arrow into the wall.
Okay. And you...
Can I do that?
It might take you some time. It might make a bit of noise, but you certainly could try.
I don't want to blunt my weapons with this thing, so...
Thinking of maybe the noise, if it starts like on the wall, Thoric will just take out... he'll just look for any sort of like scrap. Is there any like scrap of cloth or anything on the floor or any sort of like, I don't know, rocks or bones or anything?
There's the occasional bit of loose rock, perhaps from excavations of times gone by, but that's about it.
Cool. Thoric will just get a bit of oil and just like splash it on the wall, and Thoric will just say, light it. Should make a scorch mark.
Johan likes this idea. Gets his tinderbox out and lights it.
And you start to steadily make some scorch marks, as Thoric suggested, along some of the walls of these tunnels.
Thoric holds Johan's torch while he gets out his tinderbox.
Johan's like...
Thoric's like, what? Never mind. There you go. And we continue on, keeping a weather ear and a weather eye for any sources of danger, because there won't be any. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Nothing but waves. In fact, this is one of the more pleasant caves we've been in.
Okay. Could I get a perception check from each of you, please?
No, you may not.
But if I could, that would be grand.
13.
Yeah.
Unlucky for some.
That's a 6.
Okay. You continue to make your way through these intersecting tunnels, trying to get a grasp of which direction you're headed in. It's very disorienting for you. Twists and turns, all very like angular turns, but eventually you go through and around so many corners that you lose all sense of direction. And eventually you make your way out to a room which is quite a large chamber, about 80 foot by 40 foot. And this chamber has a still pool that fills much of it. The water there is dark, revealing little of what might lie within. The shore of the pool consists of a thin layer of broken shells, of strange pale mussels, and a fishy odor kind of hangs in the air. There is the passage that leads to the south from this area, at least from whatever orientation you found yourself, which is the passage that you've come through. And a set of steps to your right climb upwards. And you can see that there is a sluggish stream that flows out of the cave to the northeast. What would you like to do?
Just around the pool, I'd like to cast Detect Magic as a ritual again. Just sort of get our bearings and also so we can take in where we are, what routes there are that we could take.
Okay. Whereabouts in the room are you doing this? In the where you are or deep into the room?
Describe the size of the room again to me, sorry.
So the room is quite a large room. It's at its widest points, about 80 foot by 40 foot, with 80 foot being the depth of the room. So from where you are to the far wall. And then 40 foot across, again, at its widest points, because it's a cave, so.
And where's the pool? Where's the water?
The pool is at the... I mean, it begins kind of maybe a quarter of the way into the room, so about 20 feet.
Maybe first of all, looking out for signs of danger or creatures or anything like that.
Okay. Can I get perception checks from both of you then, please?
Hello.
Yeah, 17.
It was a 19 for me.
Okay. As you are looking around the room, something grabs your attention.
Nope.
You kind of hear.
Is it quiet?
You hear a little bit of movement around you, behind you. It's kind of echoing around the room. And you're not entirely sure at first exactly where it's coming from until suddenly something drops from the ceiling on top of Johan.
Great.
A large... It could only be described as what looks like a giant dark yellow amoeba that consists of a thick, porous-looking golden sludge now moving across the floor of this chamber towards you. I hope you're enjoying this week's episode of Bardic Quest. I just wanted to take a quick moment to highlight our Adventurers Guild to you. Now, I understand more than you might realise just how difficult it can be to arrange a game of Dungeons & Dragons, particularly if you don't have friends who are into D&D, or indeed if you don't have a friendly local game store that is, well, local. So, I'm offering my services as a Dungeon Master to members of the public. To find out more details, head on over to bardicquest.com/play, where you can see all of the pay-to-play games that I'm currently running, powered in part by our friends over at startplaying.games, and ran over Discord, so you can enjoy these games of D&D in the comfort of your own home. Again, bardicquest.com/play lists all of the adventures that we're currently going through, including the Lost Mines of Phandelver, which we're currently running through as part of the show. But we're also running a few other games at the moment, including the Tyranny of Dragons campaign. But there'll be other games on there as well, no doubt changing as time goes on through the time travel magic that is the internet. So head on over to bardicquest.com/play to see what games are available, book yourself in, and we'll see you round the table. As Thoric, you are investigating the room, you listen out and keep an eye out for any immediate threats. Johan, you do the same. And as you are assessing the room, something grabs your attention. And you look around and you're listening because you hear a sound just moving subtly behind you. You think it's kind of like an echo around the chamber. And then suddenly a large yellow amoeba-like creature drops from the ceiling, pretty much right next to you, Johan, consisting of this thick, porous-looking, almost like golden sludge that is now moving along the floor of this chamber towards you. So, let's roll some initiative, please.
16 for the dwarf.
16 for the dwarf.
That's 10 for the rogue.
10 for the rogue. And then we're looking at 12 for the ooze. So we're going to be looking at Thoric, the ooze, then Johan. So, Thoric, you are up first at the top of this round. What would you like to do?
Great. How far away am I from this thing?
So from this thing, you are, because you didn't go too far into the chamber, you're probably about 10 feet away from it.
I am going to extend my hand towards it and cast Sacred Flame.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So that's a DC 13 dex save on its part.
Lovely, thank you. Which it fails with a roll of a 4.
Excellent. 7 points of radiant damage.
Okay. Would you like to describe your Sacred Flame, sir?
So literally kind of just gut reaction. As soon as he hears the splodge, he just turns around, his shield still illuminated, extends his hand, and just radiant fire erupts around this thing, scorching it, and hopefully giving Johan an opportunity to either attack or get out of its way.
Nice. Okay, and that was how much damage again, sorry?
7, and I'm going to move a full 30. I'm going to move 20 feet away from it. So I might be using my 30 feet of movement. I'm going to move further into the room, but okay. Make sure that I'm 30 feet away from it.
Okay. Okay, so you could probably move up just to nearby where those steps on the right-hand side of the room were. You can probably stand near the bottom of those steps, I would say. All right. And that's your turn then, presumably.
Yeah, I'm just going to shout, watch it, Johan, behind you.
All right. Now you look around, Johan, and you can see this creature is now moving towards you. It's very close by at this point. As it moves towards you, you can hear it almost sludging and gurgling across the ground. As it almost, you watch as it almost rears itself up towards you and almost like strikes you with almost like a fist made entirely of its ooze-like I don't even know what the right word is, body, I guess, as it tries to hit you. So that is going to be 12 against your armor class, so probably going to miss, I think.
That misses,
okay. And thanks to Thoric's warning, you kind of see the strike coming and just deftly step aside as you face this rather large horror. And it is large, by the way. It is like 10 foot square in terms of size. So it's pretty big. So that is its go. Yes. Johan. You're now facing this creature. You're now engaged with it too. What would you like to do?
Although I kind of sense how this is going to go, Johan just does what he does and will attack it with his dagger, which is not a comment on Gladys, I'd like to point out. This is an attempt to get as much... Is Thoric within 5 feet of me?
No, Thoric's now moved deeper into the room. You're still near the entrance tunnel to the room. Thoric has now moved further away from this creature. He's further into the room near the steps on the right-hand side of the chamber. So he's now going to be...
Never
Given the size of the ooze, he's going to be... He wanted to keep 30 feet away from it, so he's going to be about 45 feet away from where you currently are.
Okay. Then I will simply try and stab it.
Okay.
With my dagger.
Go for it. Roll to hit for us.
Oh, God. Oh, that is a 24.
Oh, which will certainly hit.
Okay. That's a 1d4 plus 3. That's 4 plus 3. That's 7.
7 points of damage. Lovely. Okay.
Does it take the damage?
It does. It's piercing damage, right, from a dagger?
Indeed.
All right. Yeah, so you stab at this creature with your dagger. Just as you stab it, you just kind of go in ever so slightly too far with the blade, and you do feel a slight burn on your finger. Just as you pull the blade out, it's only subtle, not enough to actually do any physical damage to you, but enough for you to take you by surprise, perhaps. Anything else you'd like to do? Uh-oh.
Ollie's frozen in the most magnificent face.
He has.
Okay.
Oh. Go back with us.
Anything else from the
since
room?
Since I've done that.
Oh, I think we're having connection issues with you, Ollie. Oh.
Oh.
Nope. Ollie?
Sorry. That's
right.
My internet.
That's all right.
Heavy editing.
Indeed.
Do you want to ask me again?
Yeah, it was simply, was there anything else you wanted to do in response
yes,
to...
Yes, please. I'd like to use my cunning action to disengage.
Oh, nice move. Yes. And then presumably you're going to move then in that case. Where are you planning on moving to?
Close to Thoric, please. and right. Maybe a little bit behind him.
Well, you're not going to be able to get behind him because you'd have to go around this this ooze creature. But you could certainly get within 10 or 15 feet of him, certainly.
10 is better.
All right. Okay, no problem then. All right. So you watch then Thoric as Johan trying to navigate around this large ooze-like creature. Circles it and then kind of breaks off and moves as close to you as he can get at this particular point. What would you like to do?
Okay. Does this thing move quickly?
It doesn't look particularly fast, no.
I say to Johan, we'll probably outrun it, but depends whether that serves us particularly well.
I prefer to kill this creature. It is repulsive.
Fair play. And I will punch my hand towards it and cast Guiding Bolt at first level upon it.
Ooh, nice. Okay. So that's a roll to hit, I believe, on Guiding Bolt.
It is indeed.
Okay. Let's see how you get on.
The plus 5. We have a 15.
Okay, that's going to hit. So, do you want to roll damage for us?
What? I swear to God, you were going to say. Guiding Bolt. 4d6.
Woo! Nice.
Another d6. Can you please? Another! Another d6 for the dwarf. Oh, hello. 2 5s in there. Ooh.
Nice.
17 points of radiant damage.
Ooh, 17 whole points. Okay. The creature is now looking what you might consider to be bloodied. in that he's now really starting to feel the effects now of these attacks as this flash of light streaks from out of your rings towards this ooze-like creature, surrounding it now with this mystical-looking dim light, which is going to, I believe, grant advantage on the next attack roll made against the creature.
It does indeed. Question.
Yes.
Would you allow me to light a torch off of Johan's torch and just throw it in front of me? Would that need too much of my actionings, bonus actions, or anything like that?
Well, what's the intent?
I'm not trying to attack it. What I'm trying to do is chuck it close-ish to it to see if it avoids it, or whether it just doesn't care, and like if fire deters it in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Whether it tries to go around it or not go near it, or whether it doesn't care and just rolls over it like all the custard in the world.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll be generous. Yeah, you can have that.
Very kind of you. I'll take a torch, light it off of Johan's torch, and just throw
hurl it in front.
Yeah, probably about, so it's about 10 feet away from this thing, roughly.
Okay.
Just to see what it does.
Sure. Okay. Awesome. So, now it is the creature's turn, which moves steadily and slowly towards you all. And it just kind of almost not quite flattens, but dampens the flame on the torch. Just kind of, yeah, there's just a kind of quiet hiss as the torch goes out, and you can still kind of just about see it underneath the globulous form of this creature. So it doesn't seem to have been deterred at all by the torch. It is now, because you had to go round the ooze-like creature, Johan, it is probably going to be able to dash towards you to get engaged with you, because you had to go around it to get to Thoric. So it is now engaged with you, but it's had to dash to do so because this thing moves pretty slow. So it can't attack you this turn, at least. But it's up in your grill.
Woo!
So, what would you like to do?
I don't think I can quite convey how disgusted Johan is with this thing. he's met many a beast, but this thing is just... ugh. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to use my cunning action to disengage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to throw Gladys, because sneak attack applies to ranged weapons as well. And nice. Because if I have... an advantage. Thoric doesn't need to be close to me because thankfully Thoric put guiding bolts, so now I qualify for sneak attack. All I need to do is hit the bloody thing.
Okay.
That was a lovely combination of words. And I fucking loved it. Sneak attack.
All right. Roll to hit for us then.
Come on, baby. That is a nat 20, my bros.
Oh, nice.
Okay,
so roll for damage for us then.
Takes out Gladys and gives it an almighty. Okay, so that's. So I get 1d6 plus 1 for Gladys, so that's 2d6 plus 1 plus another 2d6 for sneaky damage. Okay, so I'm rolling with 2d6s. Ugh. Okay, so that's 8 plus 1, that's 9, and then 2d6 for sneaking damage is plus 7, which is 16. So that's 16 points of damage, please, Mr.
Okay.
DM.
Okay. You hurl Gladys across the room toward this creature. The blade of Gladys slashes through this ooze creature. But the creature doesn't seem to be necessarily hurt by it, rather than simply splitting into now two. separate creatures.
Just kind of look at Thorit like...
It's not you. He just sort of like taps him on the shoulder. Like, that was a true throw a dwarf could never have made. That was wonderful. And I hate this thing and that thing.
All right. Anything else you'd like to do, Johan?
No, I'll just make a heavy sigh and get my dagger out again.
And I believe if I'm right, you are now stood directly next to Thoric, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. So these creatures are now... again, things are still a bit close. These things are... Well, the one of them is now 10 feet away from you. The other one is 15 feet away from you. If you wanted to move behind Thoric, you're welcome to do so.
I take a few steps so that I'm just behind Thoric.
So you still want to stay, like, okay, next to him? So within arm's reach?
Yeah.
But you're going to use get behind Thoric and his shield?
Yes. Basically, yeah. It's basically just going to be like Homer Simpson throwing everything he's got in his pockets at those robots that itch and scratchy land. Just like, coins, rope.
Doesn't he take off his trousers and throw those at them?
Yeah.
His belt.
Yes.
All right, so... Thoric, you've just watched as this ooze has now been split into two smaller oozes. Mm. Johan has quickly stepped behind you at this point, as because they seem to have very little interest in slowing down to get to you. So what would you like to do? The nearest one is about 15 feet away from where you currently are.
Just checking something, yeah. Rules wise. Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I felt really bad when you rolled that crit. Yeah.
You should. You should. Why can't we just get, we can't even kill things anymore?
I think I'm gonna wait. Next, okay. I'm going to intercede myself, so then I'm thinking that Johan will be able to exploit them with sneak attack. He'll be able to sneak attack by me staying still. I'm going to hold my action to hit whatever comes in range first with my hammer.
Okay.
He saw Johan stab it and that worked. Slashing it doesn't seem to work, so he's going to see if hitting it with a big hammer is going to hopefully spread it enough that it can't constitute itself anymore. So he's just with the light up, sort of swinging it around, ready to go. but apart from that, he's done.
All right. So the first ooze, they are far enough away now that in order to get to you, they're going to have to dash. So both of them actually are going to dash towards you. To kind of surround you, Thoric, because Johan's kind of behind you. And they're not fast enough to be able to engage with Johan as well. They're just going to try and surround you, Thoric, which will be their turn. Now, obviously, if you wanted to utilize your action, which you've held, you are welcome to do so.
I'd love to.
Lovely.
Whichever one came closest to me first.
Okay.
That's a 18 on the die.
Ooh, that will certainly hit.
And so a d8 plus things, d8 plus 3, so that is going to be 5 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, so you bring your hammer down upon one of the oozes, and you splatter a fair bit of it into the ground, almost flattening it like a pancake. This creature just the way it's wriggling and rippling and wiggling, you can tell that the creature was not, did not like that, certainly. But it's not enough to splat it to oblivion, at least.
I wipe the like spray of sort of acidic flesh off my face and just go, go away.
All right, Johan, then you're up. You're behind Thoric still, so you're not engaged with either of these creatures, but they are pretty close to where you are.
Okay, I stay within 5 feet of Thoric, and I throw one of my daggers, and see how that goes to the other one.
Sure.
Not the one that Thoric splatted, but the other one.
Okay, go for it. Roll to hit for us.
That is a 12.
A 12 is going to hit.
Oof. Ooh. Okay. So, that's 1d4 plus 3. That's 3 plus 3, which is 6. Plus, my trusty Thoric is by my side. So that'll qualify for a sneaky, sneaky, stabby, stabby. I think that's a 6 and a 4, which is 10. So that's 16.
How are you finishing it?
Oh! So, you kind of takes a step back, and he kind of shouts in his head, "Be gone!" and just kind of throws it like a skimming stone. So it kind of goes,
nice.
And then it just kind of impacts, and then just kind of goes.
The whole thing kind of just starts to lose its shape, and it just almost turns into a puddle of goo. Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. That's one half of the ooze down. Anything else you'd like to do, Johan, at this point?
I draw my other dagger.
Yeah.
And kind of get behind the other ooze.
Okay. Nice. Okay, fine. And then presumably that's your turn, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, lovely. Thoric, you're up.
I charge in. Are we in any way, shape, or form flanking the ooze now?
You are indeed. So you may have had... Well, in fact, actually, I don't think we got the... We rolled with the advantage on the guiding bolt, did we, actually?
We did.
Oh, we did? Okay, good.
It's just I got an at 20.
Oh, that's right.
There was no need to.
There was no need. but yes, you have advantage now. So Thoric, you may roll with advantage on
Thank
your
you.
Attack.
Aren't you kind? That's a total of 18.
Ooh, certainly hit.
And just... that's another 5 points of bludgeoning damage.
How, sir, are you finishing this one?
He just basically is rushing it and just puts as much weight behind it as he can. He kind of uses the shield to swing some momentum around and just takes the thing out. And if the other indication of when the other one expired is any thought, as he hits it, it just bursts like a balloon and just sprays across the wall.
Grim. All right. The room falls silent once again as these puddles of yellow goo are on the floor, the walls, painted yellow, shall we say. Hi everyone, I hope you're enjoying today's episode of Bardic Quest. Before we get back to the adventure, I just want to take a moment to ask for your support. We work hard to bring you the best episodes every week, and we're always looking for ways to improve and make the show even better. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to our channel. Your support helps us reach more people and keep the show going. And if you want to be even more involved, why not leave a comment or hit the like button on the latest episode? Your feedback is always, always appreciated. We have so many great episodes for you to check out, so don't miss out. Subscribe to Bardic Quest on YouTube now and never miss an episode. And with that, let's get back to the adventure. What would you like to do?
I kind of use my dagger to kind of pick all the ooze off my weapons, you know, cause, and then pick it up and kind of like, I don't know, I'm tempted to like just get my water skin on it.
As you're holding it up, you kind of feel it burning your fingers a little.
Yeah. It looks towards the water. And is tempted to clean his weapons in it, but he's not sure what it is, so just kind of peers into this. Is it like a little basin of water?
It's like quite a large pool, actually. A very large pool.
It's a large pool. So we can guess this is where the creature lived until it attacked us.
That would be your call to make, if that is the assumption that you want.
I look at the pool of water, and I look to Thoric and go, did you already cast Detect Magic?
I don't think I got that far.
No, you didn't get that far, no.
I will do now, though. I've got the time to see.
Please.
I'll pick Gladys up and sort of use a scrap of cloth to clean her off and hand her back to Johan and say, that was a fine throw, my friend.
And a fine thrust. What is this creature? I've never seen it before.
I don't know. It's like angry custard.
Johan recoils at the thought of food coming to life and attacking
him. It's pretty horrifying, actually.
But, shakes off that thought. And now Thoric has wiped off, very kindly, the angry yellow stuff. Can I hold it without it burning now?
With the dagger?
Mm.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, cool. That's all right, that'll do then. He just kind of wipes it on bits of spare cloth he's got. Just kind of wipes it off and then puts his weapons away and then peers into the pool of water.
As you're looking into the pool, actually, Johan, because Thoric's got his shield that's lighting up the room too, you think you can actually make out there's a form of something in the bottom of that water. It seems to be quite still. About 10 feet from the shore.
What does it look like?
Kind of like... it's hard to make out because there's the ripples of the water. And this water is flowing. Even if it is sluggish, there is a stream that flows out the cave in the northeast of the chamber. So there's waves and things, which is distorting things, particularly with the light as well from Thoric's shield. But you're making out maybe like a off-white color, maybe? Maybe like a beigey, like light brown color?
Thoric?
Hi.
I'm gonna look at this.
I look over and has my detect magic kicked in. It takes about 10 minutes to cast.
Okay. So you cast your detect magic. And you have a look into the pool of water, and something is lighting up your detect magic from within the pool. You're making out an aura around quite a thin, long object. Probably about 30 centimeters long. Perhaps a little bit longer. And you are picking up a aura of... do you learn the school with detect magic? You do.
I think so.
Evocation.
there's something down there.
Hmm.
Something magical. A tool, perhaps, of some kind.
How... You say it was 10 feet deep?
It was 10 feet from the shore. It's hard to tell exactly how deep the water is, but your estimate would probably be maybe about 10 feet deep, but it could be deeper because of, you know, light and refraction and all that sort of scientific stuff.
Could be a trap.
Trap? I think more likely it might be something lost or discarded, or authorities are trying to make out what the shape is underneath there.
Can Thoric put his shield to the water's surface in order to shine on it?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Sure. There's definitely some things about this form, whatever it is, that is glistening. You think, actually, you can just make out almost like a humanoid shape. In the water.
Past soul.
But it's 30 centimeters long.
No, no. The thing that was lighting up the detect magic was 30 centimeters long, which was around this shape. Sorry, I maybe was not clear on that. So there's this off-white shape, which now you think is like a humanoid shape, which... if that is indeed a humanoid, in its possession is something about 30 centimeters long, which was giving off the evocation aura.
Is that a corpse?
Could be. If you need a little more reassurance, I could probably provide some.
Okay.
Or can I? Did I?
Will you?
No, I can't. Ignore me. I'm happy to go down there.
Can you go down in heavy armor?
Oh, I'll probably take it off.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll, do you want me to put a rope around you? And if you come into trouble, I'll pull you up.
Sure. I proceed to take off my armor and many layers.
Are you in heavy armor, is it?
I am, yes.
Okay, so this is going to take you about 5 minutes here, unstrapping and unhooking all of the bits, taking off the bits of armor as you prepare for your little paddle in this body of water.
I keep my short clothes on just in case. I've got some spares so I can always...
Okay.
Change. Don't want to get my other clothes wet, so I then end up.
Indeed, and you certainly don't want to pull a Sergei either. And showing everyone.
Johan is somewhat impressed.
So then you step into the pool, ready to get under water, and as you're kind of moving deeper into the pool, it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Coming up to like your neck, and eventually you're struggling to feel the bottom of the pool, so you are going to have to dive in to reach the bottom and whatever might be down there.
I take I surface up and I say to Johan, would I be able to actually pass me Gladys a sec?
He takes it out of his belt and throws it towards him with the handle first.
So I catch him. Not in water. Not in flowing water. I cast light on Gladys and go dive underneath.
Okay. Gladys lights up, illuminating the water around you, and you dive into the water. And much as you suspected, you can see now clearly that this is indeed a skeleton. underneath the water. It looks to be, well, the source of the glistening becomes quite clear, because it seems to actually have two rings that look like they might be made of platinum on some of its fingers. It's also clutching what looks like a wand of some kind. It is designed where it's almost got a spiral around the handle, and then has got like this blue, very jagged looking crystal on the wand's head. But also the other thing that you notice about this skeleton is that there are arrows protruding from its rib cage. Could I get a history check from you, please?
Of course. I assume this isn't to do with stonework.
No.
But instead with arrow work. That's a 12.
A 12, okay. Yeah, you suspect that these, by the design of these arrows, or you can make of what remains of the design, certainly, is they look as though they might be orc arrows.
And looks particularly decomposed and ancient.
Yes.
Boom. I will go down. Thoric isn't bothered by bodies in any way, shape, or form. He's seen bodies in all shapes and sizes and differing senses of decomposition. And he does not ode to the idea of... one of Thoric's philosophies is that you can't dishonor the dead. The dead are dead. They're beyond the tribulations of mortal folk. So, seeing as this kind soul has no further use of these items, he will take the wand and the two rings.
Okay, and then presumably take them up to the surface.
Oh yeah, preferably yes. Mm. I'd like to.
Okay, so Johan, you see as Thoric emerges now with a few things in his hands, nothing too large in size, just a few trinkets really. You see him emerge with what looked to be two rings in his hands and like this, something which you would certainly recognize from your own studies, and perhaps does not fill you with the greatest enthusiasm to see what looks to be certainly some kind of wand of some kind.
Hmm. I know what that is. Must be very old.
Aye.
What of the rings? Are they of any value? Beyond material value.
They're made of, they're not magical, not as far as I can tell, but they appear to be made of platinum, which is certainly valuable.
Well, at least we're not entirely empty-handed.
Hi. Would you like the rings?
I suppose I can hold on to them for now. He puts them in a little pocket, a little satchel, they go to the bottom of his bag. There's no like care and attention, just kind of tucks them and they're just rattling around at the bottom of his bag.
Does it sit all right with you? I mean, I know not a lot of people share my sentiment that, you know, things should be used and the dead are dead. I don't think they'll serve much use at the bottom of that pool.
Well, he's not using it, as you say.
Aye.
Might as well be you.
Indeed. Thoric's not really used to using wands. He understands them, but kind of turns it in his hands and kind of... Can you get any sense of what it does, or any way to...
You would need to take an hour, unless you have the identify spell, you're going to need to take an hour to study it to really understand exactly what it does.
perhaps not then.
Well, give it a wave.
No, no, definitely not.
I will very carefully put it away somewhere safe. And then hand Gladys back to Johan. And then put my clothes back on. Thoric is, for passing note, like Thoric is, has as much black and silver hair on his chest and body as he does on his head. It's just carpeted. You can see also that, like, the theme of having piercings and stuff, he has some kind of like dermal, subdermal kind of piercings, kind of rings, and kind of yes. I know what Ollie's thinking. Yes, both of them are. he's got like it's not normal sort of tattoo ink. It looks kind of sort of not luminescent, but kind of like it has a this kind of sheen, almost this kind of like white silver tattoo ink that he has several kind of like interlacing ring designs, kind of almost sort of Celtic knotwork sort of geometric pattern. Mm-hmm. Across his back and across some his forearms and his shoulders and stuff.
Okay, so that's going to take you about 10 minutes to get back into your heavy armor.
Yep.
As you again strap it back on, put all the hooks and things in the right places, whatever it is that you need to
do. How time I got this adjusted.
Is there anything that you would like to do, Johan, whilst he's donning his armor?
I suppose maybe kind of go back to where, sort of look to where we came from, and mm-hmm. just look into the dark and just wonder what more surprises lie in store.
Okay.
The adventures of Thoric and Johan.
Well, you have two exits from this room.
Well, there's another fine mess you've gotten me into.
There is the way that you came from, and then there are those steps on the right-hand side that climb up on the right-hand side of the room. And, of course, in addition, if you were so daring and not claustrophobic at all, there's also the direction that the stream flows out of the cave to the northeast as well.
No, thank you.
So, which direction would you like to head in?
The other one.
Up the steps?
Yes.
On the right-hand side? Okay.
Stairs feel good. Stairs are familiar. They lead places.
They're always up to something.
Hey. So you ascend these steps on the right-hand side of the room, past the puddles of goo on the ground, and you head up into another corridor within this underground mine complex that you are exploring. And you continue forth into the darkness below to see what other secrets this lost mine of Phandelver is hiding. So that's it for another exciting episode of Bardic Quest. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Before we go, I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you to a couple of folks. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to James Webster for providing us with and allowing us to use this beautiful animated artwork that features throughout the show. If you are a fan of his work and want to show your support to him, then head on over to patreon.com/JamesRPGArt, where you can become a patron of his. But also, I'd like to say a big thank you to our friends over at Sirenscape for allowing us to use their wonderful ambience, music, and sound effects. So if you'd like to introduce those sounds to your table, head on over to sirenscape.com to check out their amazing work. So that's it from us this week, and we will catch you next time.